Radio Prague News.
Czech farmers appear closer to agreeing a land swap deal that would allow the carmaker Hyundai to build its new billion-dollar plant. Interpol says some 50 Vietnamese girls and women forced into prostitution in the Czech Republic will return home. And President Václav Klaus has urged India to liberalize its markets. Farmers in the region of Ostrava, where the South Korean carmaker Hyundai is considering investing some $1.2 billion for a new car plant, have agreed in principle to a land exchange and unspecified compensation from the government for making the move. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek had hinted last month that the state could force the farmers to accept a deal. The standoff mirrored an obstacle that the Hyundai affiliate Kia Motor faced in 2002 when it tried to buy land for its first European factory in neighboring Slovakia. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has reportedly given Agriculture Minister Peter Zgarba a one-week deadline to introduce new controls to make the sale of state-owned land more transparent. State officials, including Minister Zgarba, who is also chairman of the Czech Land Fund, are under suspicion of having sold state property at well below market rates and for personal gain. No charges have been filed, but two fund employees were dismissed earlier this week, and an international audit at the Land Fund is underway. Year-on-year inflation rose to 2.6% in October, the fastest growth so far this year, the Czech Statistical Office said on Tuesday. Inflation had reached 2.2% in September. The main reason for the jump was higher fuel costs. The Czech National Bank had surprised the markets last week by raising rates a quarter point to 2% in an effort to curb inflationary pressures. Many economists now predict inflation could reach 4% next year and expect the central bank to raise interest rates another quarter point in January. The Vietnamese branch of Interpol has announced the safe return home of scores of young women tricked into prostitution in the Czech Republic and elsewhere in Eastern Europe. Vietnamese media reported that among them were some 50 women and girls who had been rescued from illegal brothels in the Czech Republic. Interpol said that organized gangs had made the victims believe they'd won a free trip abroad. In other news, Czech President Václav Klaus, now in India on an official visit, has urged that South Asian country to further liberalize its economy, saying Czech businesses are keen to invest in India's energy, information technology, and glass industries, the Associated Press reports. Two-way trade between India and the Czech Republic has risen to $500 million thus far in 2005, from $150 million over the same period in 2001. And finally, the weather. Thick cloud cover, low temperatures, and light rain is the forecast for the next few days. That was our news in brief. I'm Brian Kennedy. Stay tuned now for the rest of our program.
You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up in today's program, 8 Czech officials under investigation for allegedly embezzling money from the European Union. Czech NGOs call for the regularization of illegal workers. And horror of horrors, Christmas is more than 6 weeks away. The snowflakes are already a-fallen at the Palace Flora shopping center in Prague. In the run-up to joining the European Union last year, the FIRE programme was the main channel through which the Czech Republic received financial assistance for various projects. But in future, the EU may become a good deal more cautious in what it offers to Czech businesses and public administrations. 8 people entrusted with the process of transferring money from the FIRE Fund to the Czech Republic are now suspected of having tried to put millions of crowns into their own pockets. Dieter Asiedu reports.
The Czech Republic has come dangerously close to a scandal that could seriously tarnish its name in Brussels. 8 people, 2 of them who had influential posts at the Ministry for Regional Development, are under investigation for fraud and embezzlement. They're accused of the illegal transfer of 229 million crowns, or close to $9.5 million, of EU project assistance money into private bank accounts. The money came from the FARE Fund and was to be used for specific projects by the Foundation for Regional Development before the foundation was dissolved. The group was active when the Regional Development Ministry was led by current Justice Minister Pavel Niemetz. Mr. Niemetz was succeeded in the post by Jiří Paroubek, now Prime Minister. One of the main suspects is former Deputy Minister for Regional Development Petr Forman. He prepared the system through which EU money gets into the country. He even travelled around to give businesses and public administrations advice on how to use money from the Eurofund. With the intricate system of the allocation of EU funds, it could have been fairly easy for Mr. Forman and others to get away with fraud. But under Mr. Paroubek's tenure, the ministry began to get suspicious. A police investigation was started and charges were brought. Understandably, the European Union is furious. It has asked for all the money to be returned. Catherine Schusteck is the spokeswoman for the European Commission's representation in Prague.
The European Commission will wait until the investigation by Czech authorities is finished and the Czech courts issue a verdict. Then the Commission will take any necessary further decision, especially concerning the money return.
But according to State Prosecutor Boris Havel, only some 144 million crowns have so far been found in various bank accounts. Part of the remaining sum was transferred back to the Regional Development Foundation's account as if by magic, but some money is still missing. If found guilty, the group could face between 5 and 12 years in prison.
The shadow economy of the Czech Republic is thought to employ hundreds of thousands of undocumented workers. They come mainly from Ukraine and Slovakia, Vietnam and Russia. On Tuesday, just as the Interior Ministry was outlining plans to close several asylum centres due to dwindling numbers of refugees, Czech non-profit organisations issued a clarical for the regularisation of illegal workers. Brian Kennedy has more.
While there is no common migration and asylum policy in the European Union, a preferred terminology is widely in place. Regularization of irregular workers is the unweighty Brussels usage. Terms like amnesty tend to alarm the general public, who fear hordes of additional immigrants will descend upon the labor market. But throughout Europe, regularization has proved a useful measure for getting illegal workers on the tax rolls, be they Brazilians in Portugal or Afghans in the UK. These are among the findings of a new comparative study by five Czech NGOs on the pros and cons of regularization. The original intent was to draft legislation that would help establish a Czech procedure for such a move. So says study co-author Pavla Burdova-Hradečna, a lawyer for the Prague-based Counseling Center for Refugees.
We would like to start a debate, first of all. In the beginning, we saw that we can prepare a proposal of the amendment of alien law or different laws, but we found out that there is not political will or nobody wants to hear it. So we realized that, first of all, we have to start a debate. As you could see today, only non-governmental organizations were for regularization, and all these members from Ministry of Interior or Ministry of Social Affairs, they were against it.
In fact, a representative from the Labour Ministry on hand has said the government is open to the idea of regularizing illegal workers, but is concentrating on attracting skilled labourers with legal permission to work here from the start. In the meantime, says Dr. Jan Černík of the organization Sociopolis, the highly developed Czech shadow economy continues to grow.
Regularization campaign in Czech Republic, it's the beginning of discussion here. It's a new issue for us, and legal frame is not ready to accept foreigners here. Ukrainians, they are the biggest group of migrants, and black market, labor market is highly developed here, unfortunately.
Another report co-author, lawyer Pavel Chizinski of the non-profit citizens' rights group Poradna, outlined in great detail scores of ad hoc measures taken throughout Europe to get irregular migrants on the tax rolls. Whether or not it chooses to go that route, the Czech Republic should be prepared to do so.
Regularizations are normal. It's not a positive aspect of European migration politics and so on, but they are normal. And Czech Republic now is somehow in between the states like Germany, Austria, who do not apply regularizations at all, and between other West European states. And I think that law is also an instrument how to achieve some political and some useful social aims, goals. And I think that Czech Republic should apply some regulations, because restriction alone doesn't work.
And that was lawyer Pavel Chudzinski of the non-profit citizens' rights group Poradna, ending that report by Brian Kennedy. Now, some listeners may find the following story disturbing. This year we've had a glorious and mild autumn with few signs of the winter to come, so it seems so much the more strange to see Christmas trees, Santa Claus and jingling bells here in the heart of Prague. Christmas decorations are already going up in shops around the city, and the prize for milking the Yuletide season for all it's worth has to go to the Flora Palace shopping centre in the district of Vinohrady. Ever since mid-October, it's been decked out in its full seasonal regalia. Alexander Earn went down there to see how people feel about the ever earlier arrival of Christmas.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Well, I'm here with Barbara, who works in Flora. So, what do you think about the Christmas decoration here in Flora?
I think it's really bad because they came with it really early.
Does it remind you of Christmas?
It's a commercial pressure.
And you think it makes people start Christmas shopping earlier and earlier?
No, I think it makes, for example, me or us people working here depressed, and the others too.
Do you think that putting up Christmas decorations so early takes away part of the excitement and the magic of the pre-Christmas week?
I think the magic of the Christmas is almost lost in this country or in this age or time. For me, Christmas are just spending money. And for me, Christmas, like Christmas, is the one particular day. And it's the 24th in the evening, the time I spend with my family, that's all.
Do you think that all this Christmas decoration and Christmas preparation takes away part of the tradition?
It's just pressure on the people that, oh, Christmas, no, I need to buy this, I need to tidy the flat, and this doesn't make them feel Christmas in the middle of October.
I also asked Yara, who works in the office building above Flora, what she felt about the Christmas decoration.
Well, the first time I saw it, it was few days ago, maybe a week ago, I was completely shocked. I was like, wow, Christmas decoration mid-October, that's really not normal. And I just don't appreciate it because it takes away all the feeling of Christmas.
After having received Yara and Barbara's opinion, I decided to go and talk with the management of Palace Flora. Sharka Bushkova, the marketing director, told me why they decided to start with the Christmas decoration by mid-October.
This is simple. There are a lot of shopping centers, but not that many companies that install the decoration. And our choice was either to start installation in the middle of October or just before Christmas. Just before Christmas would be a wrong commercial decision, so we decided to go for October.
What do you think people feel about it?
I'm sure there are some people who are very unhappy about this. At the same time, I think our Christmas decoration is not so Christmas orientated. It's a special, I call it winter decoration. It's not as other shopping centers. What we have is green and lights. We don't have the real Czech traditional decoration. Christmas doesn't bring, I think, anymore that uncommercial feeling like we're going to have days off and we're going to have something with the family and some time off. Nowadays, I think it's very commercial, so the thinking in general about Christmas, and it doesn't have to be Christmas decoration in our shopping center, is very negative.
Sleep in heavenly peace.
Ah, just 46 days to go, that report by Alexander Earn. It's time now for this week's edition of Czechs Today, and Jan Wellinger profiles the actor and comedian Jan Kraus. This Czechs Today looks at the work of a man known to most movie and theater goers and certainly most TV viewers in the Czech Republic, none other than actor, publicist, and late-night talk show host Jan Kraus. It's been almost a year since Kraus launched a talk show on Czech TV called Uvolněte se prosím, translated roughly as Loosen Up, Please. The show successfully introduced for the first time in the Czech Republic the night show format, so well known and perfected in the U.S. And Uvolněte se prosím has taken off. There are now legions of fans who swear by it. Like his counterparts abroad, hosts like Conan O'Brien and David Letterman, Jan Kraus has eked out a special place on TV.
Dobrý večer. Dobrý večer, já jsem se trošku zdržel.
Andrej Halada is a journalist and critic for the Czech weekly Reflex magazine.
Já si myslím, že Uvolněte se prosím je velice dobrý pořád.
Uvolněte se prosím got off to a phenomenal start at the beginning of this year, although recently the show has faced some competition from incoming reality shows. But anyone who has watched Kraus has to recognize his quality. It's a format we haven't really seen here before, and Kraus is the perfect man for the job. Funny, spontaneous, and quick. But then he has to be. This type of show lives or dies by the capabilities of its host.
Jan Kraus, of course, is no stranger to broadcasting. For years he has been a household name, with an acting career spanning back to his first role as a child actor in the 50s. He then appeared in numerous films, including the cult fairy tale The Girl on the Broom, about a Czech witch, and Zdeněk Syrový's seminal Black Barons from the early 90s. In terms of TV, he's also had a lot of experience, co-hosting, for example, From the Lives of Animals, set in a real veterinary clinic. There he joined a professional vet to comment the plights of furry friends, from proverbial furball incidents to parrots with hiccups to snakes with fevers. Well, I'm embellishing, but you get the picture. Kraus was in his element. On his new show, he is equally convincing. His humor is smart, hard-hitting, and most importantly, irreverent. During interviews, he often fixes guests with a trademark fish-eye stare and sardonic expression. But he is quick to break into smiles, and his characteristic drone easily gives way to laughter in most situations. Andrej Halada again.
Já si myslím, že šklep to není podstatný. Podstatný je, že on je neuvěřitelně pohotový. On reaguje na to, co ti lidé říkají.
It's not really about the smirk, that's not it. It's Krause's reaction time. He is able to improvise immediately in response to what his guests are talking about. His little jokes or comments are funny, and above all, they're smart. The audience appreciates it.
Ty jsou chytré. A to je na tom to, co se divákům líbí.
Odpovědí bych řekl, já nevím, jestli jste to taky zachytili, ale on řekl v rádiu na dotaz, jestli věří v Boha, řekl, že se domnívá, že ano.
A few weeks ago I had a chance to meet with Jan Kraus on the set of Uvolněte se prosím at the Ponec Theatre where the show is taped. He described the program as something of a high-wire act, most of all because he never overly prepares for interviews in advance.
Já je poznám až tady, nebo potkám až tady. Když se krátce pozdravíme, jim řeknu, že povedem
přátelské. When we meet beforehand, I say hello and I thank them for coming and tell them it'll be a friendly interview. Sometimes I don't even see them afterwards because it takes me so long to get from backstage. The room to maneuver one gets without preparing everything point by point is very liberating. Preparing the interview beforehand kills your natural curiosity. We've tried to do it differently. Why not just talk with your guests and see where it goes? Of course, you never forget the person is sitting right there, and you have an audience before you, so the pressure can be enormous. But an authentic interview is worth it.
Ale pak to teda ztratí tu podstatu, že jo? A je to jiná show.
If keeping it real is important, then equally important for Kraus and his team is avoiding a mistake made by many other Czech shows that only troop out the usual suspects, in other words, famous people, ad nauseum. Uvolněte se prosím, by contrast, keeps a very unusual guest list.
Oni bývají často ohromně zábavní právě ty hosti, ty lidi z ulice.
We decided we wanted to get real people in, people you never see on TV, and that decision has been continually important. You get a totally different picture of the country when you get lesser-known people in. A baker fighting against daylight savings time, a witch who teaches you how to influence men. Often people like that are far more interesting than celebrities, only interested in themselves or their CDs.
Most of the times, the gamble pays off.
Nuda je smrt. Protože ono to nemusí být sranda. A nesmí to být nuda.
Of course, things don't always work out quite the way you expect. Someone is not as communicative as you'd hoped, or a guest is less interesting than they first seemed. But it must not be boring. It can be interesting, it can be serious, but boring is instant death.
But longtime Krauss collaborator Simona Mataskova, the program's artistic director, says most of the time the program is exciting and fun.
Já si to představím, složím to, pak už opravdu jenom se vzadu dívám a čekám, co se stane. A z 99%
I put together the guests and put together details and imagine what the show will be like. But after that, I can only watch as Jan takes over. 90% of the time, everything works and I enjoy the program enormously, along with the theater audience that brings in so much energy and life.
Někde třeba na Kavčích horách, no.
The guests on Uvolněte se prosím have, of course, included famous people, politicians, musicians, actresses and sports figures, but always there are faces far less known. A recent guest, for example, was a man who runs a Hansel and Gretel theme park. Another, somewhat better known figure, was a patriarch of the Hussite Church in a now legendary interview. His meditations on a hen, or rather on hen soup during Lent, had the studio audience, as well as Krauss, in stitches.
5 dní před koncem zakoupím slepici, tu si pečlivě vyberu.
To věřím, to bych si... to bych si dal taky záležet. A... Abych koupila buď rovnou.
When I visited, the list of guests was equally eclectic. A former Playboy bunny, a young man who had impersonated a government official and traveled the world, a home brewer convinced he had hit upon the perfect lager, but who later admitted under Krauss's niggling queries that he regularly drinks bottled beer. Again, a lot of laughs. Can Krauss keep up the brilliant pace? Reflexes Andrej Halada once again.
Já myslím, že co se týče budoucnosti, tak přece jenom tam je jedna velká otázka. On ten pořad se ukazuje, že...
Well, right now the program's perfect and has all the right elements, but of course there are questions over how long the show can last. In my opinion, it might not go on as some people might think. Right now, Jan Krauss is able to make people laugh, sometimes even often, at his guests' expense, but otherwise we don't really learn that much. At some point, the program may be forced to adapt to deeper levels in order to go beyond the one note, where Krauss pokes fun at his guests. It's a brilliant note, but going beyond that may be the next step.
I když samozřejmě brilantní, ale pořád jednotvárný brnkání na jednu strunu.
Máme? Zkus jenom prostříhat kamery, aby jsme viděli, jestli kluci mají střílený nahoře taky záznam.
At the Ponets Theatre, the director calls for a last rehearsal, and the crew and staff take their places. The band breaks into the program's opening number on stage. In a few hours, the theater will be full, and Krauss will sit down once again at the set, this time with guests and not just smiling stand-ins. But even now, Krauss says a word or two and the stand-ins laugh as they sit on the by now recognizable velvet couch. In a few hours' time, it'll be the real thing. And that edition of Czechs Today with Jan Wellinger brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you've got any comments about that program or about Christmas coming earlier and earlier each year or indeed anything else, do let us know. Write us a letter. The address is Radio Prague 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or send us an email, english@radio.cz. I'm Rob Cameron. I do hope you enjoyed today's program and that you do join us again tomorrow. Goodbye.